So far in our conversation, we have emphasized how our personal perceptions impact our biology and help create our reality. Our story, that means the philosophical lens of perception through which we see and understand our world, largely determines the parameters of our collective reality. As we've seen from Toynbee's insights, as well as from our own brief review of history, that civilizations continuously evolve as one basal paradigm story gives way to another. Currently, global crises and mounting chaos signal an impending evolutionary turning point for human civilization, a sign that we are close to the next paradigmatic handoff. We are fully immersed in and deeply experiencing the polarity emphasized in the realm of scientific materialism. However, our newest scientific insights are reintroducing the powerful influences of energy fields, which to many represent spirit. And these new insights balance our preoccupation with the material plane. In fact, twice before in our history, we have been at a point where the spiritual and the material realms were perceived as one. The first time was when we were in that proverbial garden, when our animistic forefathers had a worldview where they had no distinction between spirit and matter. And that was before we left on our great learning adventure. However, when we left that garden on the first leg of our journey, it took us deep into the non-material domain of an off-planet god. After completing our exploration of that spiritual realm, civilization once again traveled through that spirit-material balance point as it headed on its way toward experiencing the pole of scientific materialism. At that spirit-matter balance point, we briefly experienced the Age of Enlightenment and the deistic philosophy that embraced both the spiritual and material realms. The Declaration of Independence, written at this time, is a perfect example of blending spiritual idealism and practical realism. Our flirtation with that spiritual-material balance was short, for humanity at that moment was rushing headlong into the next polar realm, that of scientific materialism. Civilization's forays into the polarities of spiritualism and then into materialism have provided us with profound insights into the nature of reality. At the present time, we can either assimilate and integrate our polarized insights and make a quantum evolutionary jump as a global humanity, or we can continue the bipolar insanity as religious and scientific materialist fundamentalists duke it out to be the last paradigm standing on a dying planet. Whether or not we make this quantum leap depends upon how well we learn the lessons of the current and the previous paradigms. If we understand that evolution is a progression of accumulated awareness, then perhaps if we clarify the current state of our collective awareness, we might just speed up that evolutionary process. We will be specifically focusing upon four cultural beliefs that form the cornerstones of today's current reality. Even though science has now recognized these beliefs to be flawed, the problem is that the public still holds these beliefs to be truths. So we might ask, what is the consequence of entertaining a flawed belief? Well, for that, a good example is the case of a person with anorexia. And the reason why I bring that up is, if there was an anorexic standing among us, we would be seeing that individual as skin and bones and perhaps near death. However, if we ask that anorexic their perception of what they see of themselves, when they look into the mirror, they see a distortion like a funhouse mirror where they appear to be bloated and fat. As a consequence of their personal perception, their biology will make every effort and attempt to bring that weight back under control. So consequently, through a misperception of experiencing this overweight nature, the anorexic will reduce their weight so much they will actually die. So, in the end, the simple consequence of a misperception is that it actually could be lethal. Well, the same thing applies to us as a civilization. However, in this case, it's not the misperception of an individual. It's the misperception of a complete culture, a civilization. And these misperceptions threaten the survival of an entire species. That's why we refer to these four assumptions as the four myth perceptions of the apocalypse, myths that are taking us down the road to ruin.
Now, we call these myth perceptions of the apocalypse because this is where we are likely headed if we keep going where we're going. For example, look at economic growth from accelerated extraction of resources. That's not sustainable. Treating the land as landfill and our air, water, and soil as the final resting places for pollutants. That's suicidal. And warfare, as a method of problem solving, has actually taken us to the brink of the ultimate solution to the human problem. No humans, no problem. Now, scientific materialism, as we are about to find out, is not up to the evolutionary task in front of us. And it doesn't really make sense to go backward to religious monotheism, because going backward is not the way to go forward. So it looks like we're at an impasse, as the ominous reference to apocalypse would suggest. But the key to avoiding apocalyptic collapse lies in really understanding the underlying meaning of the word apocalypse before it became a code word for the end of the world. Apocalypse meant the lifting of veils. The lifting of the veils. Why do we lift the veils? We lift them to free ourselves collectively of four limiting beliefs that threaten our survival.
These beliefs that you talk about, Steve, are actually derived from our current paradigm of scientific materialism, and these beliefs have been incorporated into our basal paradigm, the answering of the four perennial questions. And as I said, up to now, the public is really accepting these as indisputable scientific facts, even though scientists themselves are questioning these beliefs. In fact, let's just list these beliefs right now that we'll discuss. And the four fundamental perceptions or myth perceptions of the apocalypse represent only matter matters. That's the belief that the physical world is all there is and that we shouldn't focus on the invisible, non-tangible realm of the universe. The second belief that is flawed reflects what we call the survival of the fittest. This is the belief that nature favors the strongest individuals and that the so-called law of the jungle is the only real natural law. The third myth perception is entitled, "It's in your genes." It suggests that we are victims of our biological inheritance, and the best we can hope for is that science will find ways to compensate for our inherent biological flaws and our frailties. And the fourth misperception relates to the fact that we believe that evolution is random, that life is basically a random and purposeless adventure, and we got here pretty much the same way that an infinite number of monkeys pecking on an infinite number of typewriters over an infinite amount of time might produce the works of Shakespeare.
What's very important to realize about these myths and the institutions that they spawn is that these ideas, these concepts are so familiar to us that we mistake them for reality. We forget that they're merely beliefs. They're like air for birds and water for fish. So maybe the most useful lens we can use to look at these beliefs, at least in this introduction, is a domain that was created because of science called science fiction. And what's great about science fiction is that it allows us to look at our world as a reflection of another world, and it makes it safer to look at some of the things that we might be uncomfortable with, and thus gives us perspective on what we have. Now, the one science fiction movie that I'm thinking that really would be useful to look at right now is the movie The Matrix. And in a scenario set in the near future, a young computer hacker named Neo finds himself in two parallel worlds. One, the world of the Matrix, seems to be reality as usual, you know, everyday life in our cyber age. But the other is the world behind the world, the machine-like humanoids that keep living and breathing humans happily distracted while exploiting them as power sources for their own machinery. Now, the vast majority of those people in Neo's world have taken the blue pill of blissful or at least passive ignorance. Neo and his compatriots, Morpheus and Trinity, however, they've taken the red pill. And the red pill is something that allows them to awaken outside the Matrix and gives them this different awareness. What are they awakening to? Well, as Morpheus tells Neo, the Matrix is a computer-generated dream world to keep us under control, to change a human being into this, and he holds up a copper-top battery. Well, this is science fiction, right? Well, as we'll find out from science fact, and by looking at some of the institutions empowered by these myth perceptions, that in many ways the machine has taken preeminence over life. So the good news is, every day, more individuals are opting for the red pill and are awakening to a world of awesome wonder and also profound confusion.
Well, that confusion is really the consequence of having misperceptions thrown before us. And that once we start to realize that these misperceptions are there, then we have an opportunity to actually reprogram our belief systems and provide more of a reality for our vision. So the real issue that we must come to terms with is that for millennia, we have been programmed to actually be powerless and consequently dependent upon others for our survival, especially in areas of spirituality and health. Quantum physicists tell us that our observations shape reality. Hopefully, the insights we offer regarding the four apocalyptic myth perceptions and the human and societal dysfunctions that they spawn will help you and all of us change the way we observe the world. And in so doing, it will enable us to awaken to our collective consciousness and change our collective reality as well.